Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. My name is Dale McCluskey, and I'd like to welcome you to my Dog Psychology Radio Show. And on this show, I'm going to be discussing the issue of balance training and showing that there really is no such thing as balance training, even though that's a common term that's used by many trainers to represent, using different approaches, which are kind of like a hybrid between remote callers up to using treats and clickers and really basically everything in between. And so you'll see trainers walking around with a remote call or a remote device in one hand and in a treat bag on their hip. And, you know, if you were to look at that picture, I mean, you know, for anybody, even not really understanding this issue about learning, it should tell you something, that it represents a state of confusion, or should say, well, you know, what is it? What is, you know, dog training? And we're going to talk about that on today's show to help kind of clear the air here a little bit and show that there is no such thing, even though there appears to be more than one way to train a dog, and you'll hear people saying that. In fact, that's very common for people to say, well, there's more than one way to train a dog. What I show is, no, there actually just appears to be more than one way to train a dog, because it is this very thing of appearances which is getting people into trouble. And when I talk about appearances, I'm talking about a scripting issue as it relates to response and how a dog's decision-making process is being influenced. And going deeper than that, to ask some tough questions and actually get specific about, you know, the actual relational motives in play when it comes to the reasons why dogs do the things they do. When they're going through the motions and everything is appearing to line up through the, you know, typical obedient script of the sit down, come and stay. What I show is that doesn't always represent that anything meaningful is actually happening just beyond the appearance of things. And that's a big takeaway here. I mean, this is the stumbling stone, which when I'm talking about this issue of appearances, this is the thing that the majority of trainers can't figure out. You'll get a lot of so-called corrective trainers that use more of a aversive or corrective approach, they'll know that something's wrong. I mean, they can identify and say, well, you know, I'm getting all these people coming to me. They're coming from these learning-based systems, these systems that use treats and clickers. I'm getting a lot of people coming to me that are failing in these systems, but I'm not really sure why. I can't quite put my finger on it. I just know there's a major problem here. And and they'll go so far as say, well, their system of training works well. But even if you get into problems, I'm going to talk about that on today's show, they'll shift the focus on to the dog being the issue at some level. And even a lot of police agencies will do this, will watch it, a lot of dogs where it's really a training issue. It's not a temperament problem at all. But the ability to define what it really is and get specific with it comes through seeing dogs through the relational lens. I mean, that's really the critical piece of all of this, is the ability to step back far enough away from the relationship to be able to connect these dots. And therefore, it's going to empower you the ability to see things that other people don't see and can't see and won't see. And they're relationally blind because they've already invested into a certain way of thinking. And, you know, and this is why I say nature is truly amazing. I mean, there's, you know, I talk about this on some future shows coming up, just so people know there's some real profound things happening when it comes to the dog and human relationship, which are, I believe, it's no accident or coincidence. Nature will let you think, so to speak. It'll let you think certain ways, if you're not willing to surrender how you think, if you're not willing to come into right relationship you'll be deceived. And there's so much of this going on right now, it's incredible. But it's a reflection of where society is at right now. Honestly, it's a reflection of certain attitudes that are very popular. And so the dog and human relationship really, it reveals that. It'll show it. But again, it comes from an ability to step back. So today's show, I'm going to be talking about balanced training, and I'm going to be doing more consistent radio shows, just so people know. So you'll expect to see some shows being put out talking about this relational issue and really defining or showing what training really is. It's a relational changing process as versus a learning-based exercise. And this really comes down to the real problem here with even balanced trainers who are incorporating certain ideas into their script and treating it at certain levels as a learning-based exercise. And what they're doing is they're opening the door up to this this scripting problem, this issue of appearances where things will appear to line up and they're really not. And what's happening is they're putting people at risk. Now, granted, you know, they'll be more successful than outright, you know, food and treat trainers who are promoting this anti-dominance ideology. They will be more successful than those, but they're still not. They're still going to have issues. I mean, that's my point here. And then going further and asking the question is, what is, if training is really a relational changing process, regardless of whether people see it or not, then, you know, people who are, you know, trying to define it as something else, you're going to have a problem. And you're not even going to know you have a problem because the dog's going to take the hit. And that's just how it's happening. And it's a culture of that, really. It's so entrenched now that I really, even my system of training, honestly, it's about the few, not the many. I mean, I've kind of settled into accepting the fact of that I'm not going to be popular. Okay, what I'm saying isn't going to be popular. I'm not going to be next Caesar Milan, but at the same time, I'm very content. And I'll talk about this on my future shows, where that contentness comes from. But, you know, therefore, I can say what I need to say. I've made the trade-off when it comes to, you know, understanding what the truth really is. And so I'm not suffering from some sort of a identity crisis, which is really what's happening here with so many people. And I say that, I don't say that, just understand, I'm not saying that, I don't come off judgmental here, because I've, you know, suffered my own identity crisis, and so I want to qualify that to say, listen, even when I'm talking about individuals, which I've done on my videos, and just so people know, you've seen, and to anyone that's been with me for a while, you've seen my videos. I've pulled them, I've taken them down, I put them back up, I've taken them down, I put them back up. But it's my own personal thing. It's not about the information change. This will be understand. It's not about my views changing about what training is. I mean, it, that way, it's the same. It's not changing. I know exactly what you know, what training represents, and I know the issues. With me, it's more about affecting my own walk as a Christian. That's basically what it comes down to when I'm reconciling how I'm promoting this issue. Because really, you're dealing with, I'll talk about some other shows, you're dealing with an issue of idolatry here. So, you know, when I'm looking at how I'm going to put out the information, some videos are very, you know, much, I'll name names, but just all, I'm trying to reconcile that to the fact that it's more of promoting them as a type. I'm not, you know, if I mention, in today's show, I'll mention Jeff Gelman's name, it's not to personally attack Jeff Gelman as a person, okay? I just want to make sure people understand that. What I'm doing is, you know, I'm showing the issue that he's promoting. He's very popular with promoting the so-called balanced approach to training, and so I'm going to discuss it, but I'm going to focus in on the real issue. So Jeff Gelman, you know, hopefully doesn't, you know, take what I say personal, but he comes off, and this is the other issue about this hate that comes in from And he's talked about this on one of his shows here recently about, he loves the haters. I don't know if that's true or not, if you can actually love the amount of hate. I've been threatened. I've had people threaten to kill me on email. I've had all sorts of hate come my way. Now, recently, honestly, I haven't had any hate. In the last several weeks, I haven't had any. And I could be wrong here, but I put it out to the fact that I'm very specific about what the real issue is. So if someone comes into my videos and challenges what I have to say about training, about learning theory, I have the ability to break it down. So, I'm not getting personal. I'm just saying, okay, let's talk about this, and people disappear, because that's the whole point. If you're focusing in on the real problem, that's the counterforce to the hate, okay? And this is another point I want to make on the show, this issue about balanced training. If these balanced trainers, okay, are incorporating or approaching training as a learning-based exercise at some level, which they're doing, okay, because they're incorporating these concepts into what they do, and they're following that roadmap at a certain level, how and they're getting the hate at the same time, because they're not all in, okay? This is what we talk about, the levels of this. I call it idolatry, but that's basically what it is. Talk about the levels of how this ideology is being promoted. These so-called pure positive people, they have a certain ideological view of things, okay, just so people understand. So when they look at, say, a balance trainer, they'll hate them because they're using, things that, how they define physical force, and we'll talk about this on today's show a little bit, how it's defined relationally. So they're misrepresenting physical force totally. But they'll look at, a balanced trainer, and immediately they'll hate on them because, they're not all in. They're going against their ideological views on what training represents and dogs in general. But the point here is, okay, balanced trainers, they're not identifying the real problem, okay? You're not getting specific about this issue about learning theory, about this the state of mind of a dog, which people are assuming represents a like-minded state at the response scripting level, which I show at the relationally, oftentimes it's not what you think it is, okay? It doesn't mean that just because the script is coming together, the typical script's coming together, and the dog goes through the motions, that means that unwanted behavior is diminishing. It doesn't always mean that whatsoever. So especially if you're incorporating learning into the neck, so to speak, because of how it aligns itself, what it represents relationally to changing how people think. Okay, this is a critical point. The dog's a relational being, so it's mind and body. So it's about changing, nature represents the whole. So, but getting specific in these dynamics, I talk about this just so people know. In one of my courses I just put out on my website, called Introduction to the Relational Model, I go really in depth to this learning based issue and all these different dynamics. You talk about counter conditioning and the dynamics that are in play. So relationally, so if change does or does not happen, okay, I'm showing the dynamics in play. How to do, there's a kind of a roadmap that you can go by to determine how change happens. Okay, but going above and beyond that, I'm just saying, I'm suggesting, encouraging people, just completely stay away from learning as your roadmap, period. Okay, if you want to ensure that you're not going to have a scripting problem and be deceived, then you shouldn't be messing around with treating training as a learning-based exercise. That's just a really bad idea. There's a better way, and I show that through my system. I show how influence comes online right out of the starting gate, at the intervention level, to close the door on this problem, so you're not going to have the problem. And the good news is, even if you have, if you failed in the past, say if you've used anything between, treats and clickers and remote callers or whatever, and you haven't been successful, my system, what I show relationally, it represents a brand new day. I mean, it really does. You can bring any dog back from the edge. Now, is it easy? Well, no, I'm not saying it's easy, because the focus comes onto the person, the change. That's the whole point here. Change comes in and through the person relationally. So the problem with how training sets up to people treating it as a learning-based exercise, and really think about what I'm saying here, because I'm going to make some profound points here. If change comes in through the person relationally, that's where change is coming from. What learning theory does, it changes the focus onto the dog rather than the person to change. So just think about that. This is why even when people talk about, leadership or thinking about, how people think, what I say, well, it's impossible to mirror your emotions, to invest emotionally into the dog relationship and meet their leadership needs because on a spectrum, say, of thinking, it's at the totally opposite end. I mean, you can't mirror your emotions and then meet a dog's leadership needs, because it requires a different way of thinking. You have to surrender your thinking. You have to change how you think. Okay, so this is the problem. But this is the problem with this narrative, okay, which is a false narrative that people who advocate this idea about dogs can learn, and they're saying about it being positive reward based and love based, and they have this narrative going. But ask yourself the question, if you think about people mirroring their emotions, is it really about love in the way that represents meeting the needs of another? Well, the answer clearly is no, it's not. Okay, it's not about loving another human or a dog or an animal, which represents there's no expectation of something in return. But see, this ideology, it's all about something in return. It's all about self. It's self-love. Okay, so right from the start, it's based on a lie. It's not based on truth at all. So we have right from there, you already have a problem. Okay, so people aren't being honest about what this and to go further relationally, okay, dogs are relational beings and they really do share a very profound and deep connection with us, which I show they do. And then, so therefore, if you can't get away with, say, thinking emotionally the way that, people are thinking, then there you go, there's your answer. It shows there's a problem, okay? So if you really pay attention to the people who are struggling for help with their dogs, you're going to find some stuff that is going to reveal some relational truths here. Okay, number one, there's a gender issue. 90% of the people that need help with their dogs are going to be women. And that's not intended to be a sexist comment whatsoever. Okay, it just reveals relational truth. Okay, men think differently than women. So you're going to see the majority of them are women. Okay, and that's significant. If you get upwards of 90%, you pay attention, okay, because it's significant. It's not just, 50-50 or 60, 40. It's not upwards of 90%. And I challenge you, if you question what I'm saying, go into any discussion forum on the internet where they're going back and forth, or people are looking for, solutions to their behavior issues, and you're going to find that's the case. Okay, take your clicker out and use it for something productive instead of trying to use it to, with this learning-based ideology, and add up the numbers. And you're going to find that it's upwards of that. Now, people can say, well, men are different. They don't ask for help, just like they don't ask for directions when they get lost. I agree. I don't like asking for directions when I get lost either. But that's still not going to knock the numbers down like that, okay? It just isn't. And besides, there's other things that go along with that to show that it definitely dogs are relational beings, okay? It's not just that. It's about how people think. And you get more specific. So, you generalize a little bit here, but you get actually specific about it, and then get into this issue of challenging the contradictions, which they're there. And this is the thing about trainers. I mean, if you have any experience at all, you're going to see them. If you don't see them, you're lying to yourself, or you're been turned over to this way of thinking, but it's a problem. Now, here briefly, I'm going to talk about Jeff Gelman here. I mean, as an example of the shifting sands of balanced training, why you'll see the you know, I say about state of confusion, why you see this is very common. You know, you're not identifying what the problem is. Because, again, if you're not identifying what the problem is, then what's the point? I mean, what are you doing? I mean, you're either seeking popularity, you're suffering from some sort of identity crisis, but you're certainly not going to make a trade-off. And I say about trade-off, you know, if training is what I say it is, it's a relational changing process, it's going to change how you approach training, and you're not going to be a popular person right now in the current state of the climate of the way things are in society, which is how it's going to be if you're focusing on the real what training really is, because you're going to bring the focus on the people, but not in a feelings way like Gelman's trying to do with trying to turn into some sort of motivational speaking tour, which again, it just shows you people, because here the thing is about Gelman. Okay, I'll talk about Jeff Gelman and even Sean O'Shea. You know, you look at both of these guys, and they've got their script from, or who they modeled their methods from, is Cesar Millan. I mean, they've been with Cesar Millan. They looked at Cesar Millan. They even, you know, want to be popular like Cesar Millan. I'll say that, otherwise they wouldn't be, you know, promoting training the way they're doing it. And, you know, and if they knew the real problem here, or they would address it, you know, they aren't going to be popular. They'll have, you know, and it's going to cause a trade-off. But then that's why I give them this thing about people's motives. Why this training is such a mess right now, why the dog training world is in such a mess, is people are ignoring the truth. They're trying to shake it off. And, you know, you can't. I mean, the truth is the truth. So things are never going to change. In fact, here the thing, issue with balanced trainers is, if they're not identifying the problem, sooner or later, this ideology, this learning-based ideology, which is a real kind of radical way of thinking, it's gaining ground, okay, because you've got a alignment happening between how society's thinking. This is why it's so popular. And so there's buyers and sellers. So you get people thinking that way anyway because of idolatry and self-love, and it's all about the person. Well, that's what society is based on right now. And then you have that's why this ideology is getting so out of control. And then you're getting these remote collar bans happening, especially over in the United Kingdom, because it's about feelings. It's about how people feel about things, not about any real standard. Which there is, by the way. I mean, I show it. Just because of the dynamics in play and the issue with appearances, people can get away with shoving this off. But in the end, you know, it's very destructive. In the end, you're not, you know, you look at the amount of dogs being destroyed. I guarantee you in the United Kingdom, as they're banning these remote collars and people are siding with this ideology and this way of thinking, no one's paying attention to the increase in people struggling with the behavior issues and dogs being given up on. So the point is, as long as we have millions of dogs to kill and destroy, because it's all about people that way, you're going to have this totally disconnected, you know, mission statement. You're going to have this ideology gains and things. So things are going to get worse. That's what I'm saying. Because ultimately, the real issue doesn't get fixed. Just like in permissive parenting, with the attitudes of, say, permissive parenting has become more of a problem. And I show this in my book. I wrote a book and all this stuff. It's called The Mind and Body Connection. And I show, you know, I draw the parallels here between people's attitudes in society and the spillover effect, why things get out of control, and why people like me will be, you know, I'll be hated, or people aren't going to like what I say, even though it's the absolute truth. Because it challenges their you know, forces them to pull down their idol, so to speak, because it challenges their motives. It exposes, it brings them out in the light. It brings out their real motives, and people don't want that. Okay, that's why this ideology operates from the darkness, basically, for the most part. You don't see transparency with this learning-based ideology. You see a lot of arguments and PowerPoint presentations and this and that and the other thing, but you're not seeing any real transparency because it can't be that. Okay, that's the thing you have to understand. It can't become that. But getting back to balanced training, and how it is that people's views evolve Well, the reason their views evolve is based on popularity. Jeff Gelman, you know, recently he says his views have evolved on learning. He's incorporating clickers now. He made a statement about basically that after meeting with a dolphin trainer, he brought a dolphin trainer in or Skype the dolphin trainer with his people, that the dolphin trainer has him convinced that the real problem with learning or how it's approached by the majority is that they're doing it wrong, that they're not, the timing's off. He's even talking about his hand being in the treat bag too soon and this and that and the other thing. I want to be clear about something. It's nothing to do with the timing here. Okay, it has to do with the core tenet being flawed about learning, okay? So it doesn't matter whether your timing is off by 10 minutes, okay? It's a joke. I mean, it's nothing to do with that. But this is the problem. If you're not stepping back, then, you know, it's going to be a problem. But beyond that, okay, this is the whole thing about the state of confusion when it comes to balanced training. If you're not identifying the problem, and then add to that, you want to be the next Caesar Milan. You want to be popular, want anyone to like you, even though you say you're getting all this hate mail. But clearly, there's a problem here, okay? I'm not just talking about Jeff Gelman, because if you're Jeff Gelman, you can look at him as a type, and Sean O'Shea and all the other people as a type. But being truly honest about the problems here when it comes to dog training, and that's not happening, because people aren't willing to make the trade-offs. They're not willing to do it. If they were willing to do it, they would have done it a long time ago. Okay, that's my point. And so, you know, and even you look at same thing that happened with Dr. David Mech. When Dr. David Mech, who is a Canadian scientist, who's one of these researchers when it comes to wolves and the wolf pack and what is dominance. When he flip-flopped or changed his position on the dominant issue and saying and reversed his position, all the, learning-based ideologues threw apart. I mean, they said it was fantastic and this and that. Well, it doesn't even matter. My point is Dr. David Mech, or looking at the hierarchy or pack that way, and you're looking at physical force, nature doesn't reveal itself like that, okay? And I talk about this in depth on one of the videos I put on my course regarding social hierarchy and the how dogs communicate. It doesn't align like that. So you're not going to get truth that way, okay, at that level. You're not going to go. So this is why physical force is so problematic when people are trying to define the dominance issue of physical force, because it's defined relationally. And relationally means going deeper than that and looking how dogs communicate at that level. So, but again, getting back to this whole thing, balanced training is a problem because it's not fixing, it's not identifying the real problem, and it's not acting as these trainers who are basically selling out or not seeing the problem, they're not going to be part of the solution. And the problem here is there's a danger of them being overrun, or everyone being overrun for that matter, from this ideology which is getting out of control with all these bans happening on remote callers. So sooner or later, you're going to be standing there with your mouth hanging open, wondering what just happened, because you're too busy, wanting to be on television and... but not again. When people are questioning about your methods or popularity, that's all it's about. Even Caesar Milan, the same thing he does. You see him on TV, and they start to try to blindside him about his methods. He just tries to move past it based on being popular, his celebrity. But that's basically what the ideology of those who promote learning are doing, the same thing. They're just trying to push beyond the real problem. So in the end, the real problem isn't getting fixed. So anyway, just something to think about. I want to talk about balanced training and what training is. I encourage you to check out my website, www.caninepack.com. If you're seeking real answers, if you want real help with your dog, I have options available, even Skype help, which is a Skype option if you live outside Florida. If you want help with your dog, regardless of your problem, just send me an email, or phone. I'll be more than happy to help you out. So anyway, thanks for tuning in. I hope you have a great day.